Commanders in Iraq say the United States cannot withdraw its troops until Iraqis themselves can take responsibility for security and until the Iraqi government can provide essential services. But insurgents are making those goals difficult to achieve. There is a campaign of terror and intimidation against any Iraqis willing to work with the new government and with the United States, NPR's Tom Gelton reports.
The Minister of Public Works in Iraq, Nasreen Mustafa Berwari, was here in Washington this week to discuss efforts by her ministry to rebuild the country. At one event, she was introduced as someone who one day could be Iraq's first female prime minister.
That's dangerous. Now you will get me assassinated.
Iraqis like Ms. Berwari may want to make light of the threats under which they live, but as she made clear in an interview after her speech, the dangers they face are entirely real.
I personally was a target for two assassination attempts. My own advisor got assassinated 2 weeks ago. So we're very aware of the challenges. But these are not going to deter us from moving on.
Anyone who agrees to work for the Iraqi interim government and associate with the U.S. presence in Iraq is a target. Of 100 Iraqi Defense Ministry officials who have recently been through training courses at the National Defense University here, at least 5 have been attacked. One was left paralyzed. The other 4 were killed. Fred Smith, formerly a senior U.S. advisor to the Defense Ministry, personally recruited many Iraqis to work there and arranged their U.S. training program. He knew 2 of the men killed after returning to Iraq from Washington, including Issam Kadim.
He was an engineer by trade, a young man in his early 40s, an interesting person, intelligent. He really represented, I think, the future of Iraq.
Smith insists the Iraqis he knew in Baghdad were aware of what they were getting into when they agreed to work in the defense ministry.
Shortly after we issued them cell phones, some of them started receiving telephone calls on their cell phones with threats. So the terrorists knew these people and they knew who they were. They knew how to get their cell phone numbers, and they knew where they lived.
Smith and other U.S. officials who have worked in Iraq have come away admiring the bravery of those Iraqis willing to defy intimidation. Kara Trevelyan returned to Washington this fall after spending more than a year in Iraq directing a police training program for the Justice Department.
They are fearless, and they are committed to having rule of law in that country and to having their say and their mark on their future.
Still, for all the bravery, the insurgents' intimidation campaign is having an effect. U.S. officials say many government ministries are now losing key personnel. William Taylor, director of the Iraq Reconstruction Management Office in Baghdad, says the intimidation of Iraqi workers is now his number one problem. When his agency undertook a reconstruction project on an army base recently, Taylor says, he and his colleagues first had to figure out how they'd handle the problem of workers too scared to show up.
There we were bringing laborers onto the base and using the laborers there. Then the intimidation began on their families, so that we had to go to another idea.
They tried having the Iraqi government hire the workers, thinking that the less the United States was associated with the project, the less people working on it would be targeted. But the intimidation continues, as Taylor discovered this week when he got an update on another reconstruction project.
I had the contractor in a couple of days ago, and he was describing this. He was expecting 1,000 laborers, and he got 5. It's a serious problem that, again, we can work through, but it's having an effect.
There's actually little the U.S. or Iraqi governments can do to combat the intimidation problem other than depend on the bravery of the Iraqis. Fred Smith, who stays in touch with many of his old defense ministry colleagues in Baghdad, says what impresses him is not how many Iraqis quit, but how many continue to show up.
I don't know how many people have not come forward and volunteered for these jobs because of this threat, but I do know that many people still do come forward and take these jobs despite the risks.
The intimidation campaign has, if anything, intensified recently in the lead-up to the elections scheduled for January 30th. The U.S. Embassy in Baghdad recently called Washington's attention to the problem with a cable devoted to the intimidation issue. It's one more challenge for a country that still has a long ways to go before it's stable and peaceful. Tom Gelton, NPR News, Washington.